It's our privilege today to have a brother who has come all the way from Jos, where the headquarters of NEMA is, to come minister to us today, tomorrow, and Sunday. Our brother, Mike Adebwile. The Lord bless you, sir.
Hallelujah. God be the glory for the privilege to serve in His vineyard. The greatest honor that a life can have is to be called a servant of God, is to be given a part in the business of the kingdom of God. And that honor is extended to each and every one of us, is the honor to be a co-worker, a co-laborer with God. I want to thank our Archdeacon, Venerable Professor Ike. As he told you, we've come a long way, and his beloved wife, our sister and mommy, Ruby Ike. I want to thank all the chaplains, the chapel council, and each and every one of us, all the workers, the mission team coordinators, and everyone who have been joining hands to ensure that the name of our Lord is lifted higher. I want to welcome you in the name of the Lord to this weekend of teaching on the theme of making disciples of all nations. When I look at the program, Prof gave me a copy of your program, and I actually thought initially that this is just a theme for this weekend, but I discovered that it's been the theme of your activity for this first half of the year, maybe for the whole year, I don't know, but at least the program here is patterned after that. What a great theme to consider. I want to thank the leadership for the privilege to be asked to minister with you this weekend. And I believe that God has a lot to say. And from the Scripture Union background, and we used to sing, God has something to say to you. God has something to say. Listen, listen, pay close attention. God has something to say. You know, there are many voices clamoring for our attention in the world today. But there is a voice that we must not ignore, and it's the voice of our Maker. The Bible says, let him who has ears hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. And I believe we are gathered unto him, and he is here with us. I'd like us to bow our head to pray. Eternal God, this is your meeting. Come and have your way. Thank you, Father God, that the entrance of your word gives light and understanding to the simple. You said it is the Spirit that quickens, the flesh profit nothing. And Jesus, you said the words that you speak, they are spirit and they are life. I ask that your word will come alive to us this evening and over this weekend. You will help us to hear your word, to hear you and to respond to you. Bible says, if the speaker make an uncertain sound, how shall the people be prepared for war? If your people did not hear clearly, how shall they know what to do? Lord, let your word come with clarity. Let it come with simplicity. Let it come with grace and with power. Let it minister life encouragement. Let it minister strength to your people such that their output in the work of your kingdom may increase significantly. Ask that we pass this way tonight. Pass this way in your power, in your glory. I pray you will leave blessings behind. Ask that you will ignite each and every heart with a fresh passion, the passion of your heart for the lost in our world. Ask the over God that you will touch our heart afresh. Rend your heavens upon this meeting and cause an outpouring of your grace and of your glory. Have your way, eternal Father. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We start with the Song of the Nations. Can you give me the Song of the Nations? The Song of the Nations says, may we be a shining light to the nations. It's a prayer, it's a song. And as we sing together within my time, I want you to take note of the wordings of the song. It goes like this, and you can join me. May we be a shining light to the nations, a shining light to the peoples of the earth, till the old world sees the glory of your name. May your pure light shine through us. I'm sure we can do that. Can we do that standing? Thank you. To sing. May we be a shining light to the nations. A shining light to the peoples of the earth. Till the whole world sees the glory of your name. May your pure light shine through all. Second one. May we bring a world of hope to the nations. The world of light to the peoples of the earth. Till the whole world knows thy salvation in your name. May your mercy flow through us. May your mercy flow through us. May we be a healing balm to the nations, a healing balm to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world knows the power of your name. May your may we sing a song of joy to the nations, a song of praise to the peoples of the earth, till the whole world rings with the praises of your name. One more time. May your song be so true. And finally,
May your kingdom come to the nation. Your will be done in the peoples of the earth till the whole world knows that Jesus Christ is Lord. May your
just say a word of prayer. May your kingdom come to the nations. As a church, we are focusing the nations, the will and desire of God for the nations, and it consists in the coming of the kingdom of God, that the peoples of the earth may experience the coming of your kingdom in great power and glory. Lord, let your kingdom come to the peoples that are yet to know you. Let your kingdom come and let your will be done. And I want you to pray through me and through us. Let your kingdom come to the nations that are yet to know you. The nations that are yet to acknowledge your lordship. Through me, through us, let your kingdom come. We pray in Jesus' name. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. The theme of our gathering over this weekend is making disciples of all nations. And we can find that in Matthew chapter 28. Verse number 18 through to 20. I'm sure you've been reading that several times in the course of this whole year. And we're still going to do that as we engage with this topic over the next 2 days. Matthew 28 from verse 18, I read, "And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world." Amen. The New International Version of verse 19 says, "Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations." Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I'd like to welcome you again to God's presence and to what God has to say. I'll start by making some introductory foundational statements. I want to remind us that our God is a global God. Our God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, is a global God. He's a God of all the nations. He is not a local deity. He's a global God. For God to be involved in anything, that thing has to be global and eternal. Check it, check through it. If God is a part of something, that something has a global dimension and an eternal dimension. God does not, He doesn't waste His time on just things that are of time. but things that are eternal in perspective. God's covenant with Abraham, as we find in Genesis chapter 12, verse 2 to 3, discloses God's desire to bless the nations. God is a global God, and God wants to bless the nations of the world. God wants the entire nations of the world to experience His glory. And God wants your life to be a vital part of the fulfillment of His heart desire for the nations to experience His glory. Hallelujah. What a privilege. That God wants His glory to be enjoyed by all peoples of the earth, by all nations of the earth. And God desires your. And I'm speaking to old and to young, present here. God desires that your life will be a vital part of that desire of His heart. I want you to know that the Bible is a missionary book. It's a missionary document. And mission is the basis of the Bible. The Bible existed because God has a mission to fulfill. The Bible is God's manual for us to fulfill His mission on earth. When you buy a cell phone, it comes with a manual, isn't it? That manual is meant to explain how this phone functions. We have the Bible at all because God has a mission. God is involved in a mission on earth. And God wants you, and I mean you. Everybody say me. You are in the number. Hallelujah. God wants you to participate with Him in His mission on the earth. Amen. I said in that slide that the Bible is a missionary book, and that missions is the basis for the Bible. The Bible is about God's passion to be worshipped. God's passion to be worshipped by every people group on earth. God has a passion. The God that you serve, the God that I serve, is passionate about something. God is passionate about the nations that He has made to come to know Him, to come to love Him, to come to worship Him. God is passionate to bring the nations into an experience with Himself, whereby the nations come to know who He is. Come to love Him. And dedicate to a life of worship, of obedience to Him. The Bible is about God's passion to be worshipped by every ethnic groups. I'm making some statements before I go back to Matthew chapter 28. It's about God's passion to be worshipped. Mission is Worship is the goal of missions. Why are we engaged in missions? It is that the people might come to worship our God. Worship is the goal of mission. You know, when everything is over, when we will not need to do missions again, there will still be worship. Man is the goal of mission, but God is the goal of worship. Worship transcends mission. Mission exists because worship does not. And mission is meant to bring about a worshiping community unto God. A community that knows and loves God. And a community that submits in worship unto Him. That His will may be done in their midst as it is done in heaven. That is why we have scores of references in the Bible, both Old and New Testament, pointing to God's desire for the nations to come to know Him. For the nations to come to worship Him. We have scores of references in Scripture. The nations which had been separated on account of sin may come to know, worship, and serve our God. Hallelujah. Your life as a believer, as a Christian, is not worth any other preoccupation other than working with God to fulfill the passion of His heart. The life of this chapel of His resurrection is not worth any other preoccupation other than laboring with God that His passion and His mission on earth may be fulfilled. Hallelujah. And every believer, and I mean every, if you're here tonight and you've acknowledged the Lordship of Jesus Christ over your life, I want to announce to you that you are critical. You are important in the arrangement of God concerning His work on earth. Every believer and every underlined, you are critical and important in the arrangement of God concerning His work on earth. And I want you over this weekend to begin to review where you are at in relation to the passion of the heart of God. How much of that do you embody? And how much of that is a vital part of your life? According to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, you are created and saved to participate in God's mission. The Bible says even from the foundation of the earth, God had ordained that there are sins you should walk in. So you are meant for God's mission. I want you to say with me, I am meant for God's mission. In John 15:16, the Bible says, "You did not choose me, I chose you." That was Jesus talking. So you didn't choose me, I chose you. I ordained you that you may go and bring forth fruits, fruits that will abide. You are ordained and gifted to participate in God's mission. Amen. And our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew 28, when he gave that commission, he made the fulfillment of that commission the calling of every Christian and the corporate calling of every local church. There is an awesome, great commission call on every Christian. If you're here this evening and your name is in the Lamb's Book of Life, if you're here this evening and you have a witness that your sins have been forgiven, you're here this evening and you have the Spirit of the Son of God. Because the Bible says, he who does not have the Spirit of the Son of God is none of his. If you're here this evening and you have a witness in your heart that you're a child of God, I want you to know that there is an awesome, great commission call on your life to which you need to respond to. Amen. The moment you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God calls you into the ministry of reconciliation. To the ministry of reconciling lost humanity back to himself. The Bible says God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. Amen. And God desires that every believer will take personal ownership of this great commission. Hello? God desires that you will take personal ownership of this great commission. That this is God's order over my life. Making it your personal commission. It's just like if the vice chancellor, this is teaching hospital, you have, what's the name of the head of teaching hospital? Provost. CMD. If the CMD of this teaching hospital should say that, you know, my sister, what's your name? Sorry? Millicent. If you should say, Millicent, take this program sheet and go and give it to the head of gynecology. That is an instruction from the CMD to you. If you are a student of this, you don't take that lightly. Do you? You respond. Beloved, there is a divine order upon the life of every believer. It is an order to make the commission to make disciples of all nations our personal commission. To take ownership of that commission and to begin to explore ways in which you can pour out your life to fulfill that commission. God has led the leadership of this chapel to this topic in order that you might come to that point of personal ownership and of commitment to the Great Commission. It's my prayer that that will be a testimony of your life in Jesus' name. The utmost value you can give to your life, and the utmost value that can be given to the life of a local assembly, comes when such life is aligned with the global purpose of God, that is when that life has value in the divine reckoning, in the divine order of things. And I want to encourage you, brothers and sisters, to align your life, your giftings, your resources, your time, your money, to align everything in order to promote the divine agenda of God, to lead the nations to know Him, to lead the nations to serve Him, to worship Him. Amen. To make disciples of all nations is not an option for the follower of Christ. It is a command. Hallelujah. And I want to congratulate you. Venerable Wike shared briefly with me yesterday how that you have been a mission. And I am not surprised. And I thank God for the blessing of the leadership that you have. And that there has been efforts, you know, in previous years to plant churches, to nurture them, and even hand them over. And that there is a plan this year, May, I suppose, to also launch out to a new field to bring the witness of Christ to an unreached community. Have you been a part of that? Has your time been invested in that? Has your money been invested in that? Have you volunteered time? Have you dedicated time to that? Our brother there that led us said that those of us that raised up our hands, when it's time for us to go, we must stand to be counted, isn't it? And may God find you when it matters. Beloved, to make disciples of all nations is not an option for the follower of Christ. It is our privilege. It's our obligation, but it's our privilege. Mission comes from the word missio Dei, which refers to the mission of God. It is God that is at work in the world and is giving us opportunity to join Him at work. It is God who has made a divine declaration. He said, as long as I live, He said, the ends of the earth shall see my salvation. That is what God has said. That is a divine determination of the Almighty. Don't stand on the way, because God will achieve His purpose. Amen. It is God that said that the earth shall be filled with the knowledge of my glory, as the water covers the sea. That is the divine determination of the Almighty to bring the nations into an enjoyment, a white hot enjoyment of His glory. And God is giving us a privilege to join Him at work. There is work to do among our children. There is work to do among the teenagers. There is work to do among the youths, among the men, among the women. There is work to do in the market square, the marketplaces. There is work to do in different strata of society, but reaching to the very end of the age. In Acts 1 chapter 8, before his ascension, Jesus Christ said, "You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you'll be witnesses of me in Jerusalem, in Judea, in Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth." I want to submit to us tonight that nothing but the entire globe is worth the sacrifice that Jesus paid on the cross of Calvary. That sacrifice is not just for those of us seated here. Praise God that, you know, that sacrifice has come to reality in our lives. Amen. But that sacrifice is beyond us. That sacrifice paid on the cross of Calvary is for the entire planet Earth. The 7.2 billion people on planet Earth today, represented in 238 political countries and in about 16,600 people groups. I will come to that shortly. It is how to extend the blessings of that sacrifice to this entire world that God is committed. And God is inviting you to join Him at work. Amen. What a privilege. And it's my prayer that you will say yes to Jesus. Amen. Amen. Every one of us, every believer, we have a calling to be involved in some ways with taking the gospel of Jesus Christ to our Jerusalem, to our Judea, our Samaria, and to the uttermost part of the earth. When Jesus Christ was going to summarize what this commission is about, He said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." Hallelujah. He said, "Go ye therefore." Beloved, you need to recognize the authority of Him who is sending us. A group of people climbed a hill of unreached peoples in some parts of in Northeast stroke Chad Basin. Some part of Northeast, you know, bordering the Republic of Chad. They climbed a hill where some people, they have not seen civilization. Stark naked, just used leaves to cover themselves. And they hit human beings. When they landed, they said, "By whose authority did you come to this hill?" They were first confused what to say. And their leader said, "We are here by the authority of the King of Kings. We're here by the authority of the Lord of Lords." And he just kept speaking. They wonder, is there another king apart from our king? Is there another person apart from our own? They wanted to know whether it was by the permission of their king. If not, they were dead people. But as he was speaking, it sounded confusing. And they wanted to know what's going on. Who are you talking about? And he went on to explain who Jesus is. Hallelujah. Is it Jesus? Who is He? We need to recognize the authority behind our commission. Jesus wouldn't have sent us out without first taking all authority in heaven and on earth. He has collected the keys of hell. He triumphed over it and rose up victoriously, and before his ascension told us to go and make disciples. To go and labor with God in raising lifelong committed followers of Jesus Christ. In raising people who will be loyal followers of Christ. Men and women who will embody the values in the life of Jesus Christ. Just like the early disciples, they saw them and said, these people were Christians. Go and raise Christians from within every nation. This sacrifice that had been done must give birth to a community of Christ lovers, a community of Christ followers, a community of obedient followers of Christ in every nation on earth. Amen. And the mandate is for us to join with God to enter into a labor with God to ensure that such a community is birthed within every people, every language, tribe, and tongue. Amen. Can I have the following slide? I've gone further than this. Yes, okay. You can leave that. Go back one more. Just the one. Go back. Yes. Say, God desires every believer to take personal ownership of the Great Commission. Have you heard that? Making it our personal. No, just stay where you are. That one. Yeah, good. Making it our personal commission. The Great Commission is to be obeyed by every believer. It is not just the work of the Mission and Evangelism Committee. It's not just the work of the chaplain and his team. It's not just the work of the big brothers and sisters. It is the privilege of every child of God. Amen. And God expects you to come alive to that responsibility. And this weekend program has been packaged that you may hear God's voice, that you may experience God's help to be the effective, fruitful witness that God desires you to be. It's my prayer that that will be a fulfillment in your life in Jesus' name. The next slide. So how many believers are alive to that reality? And how can we as a local church mobilize our members towards the fulfillment of the Great Commission? That is what the leadership of the Chapel of His Resurrection gathered us here to be awakened to our task as individual Christians and as a local church or as local churches. Because if the harvest is delayed further, what the Son of God died for will be wasted. If the harvest is delayed, what the Son of God died for will be what? Wasted. The gospel is good news if it does not arrive late. If the gospel arrived late, it's no longer good news to the people. A group of people took the gospel to a community. And one of the old men in that dedicated his life to Christ asked the young man, "How long have you known this gospel?" He explained the years. They said, "Why has it taken you so long to come and tell us? How I wish you were here several years back. We have buried so many people here without the knowledge of this great good news that you have brought, of what God has done in Christ Jesus for our salvation." But those people who didn't hear it, it's not good news. But to that man, it is good news. Because he had opportunity to listen to it. So the gospel is good news if it does not arrive late. And beloved, there is a waiting world out there. There is a waiting world. There is a world out there hungry and thirsty for a relationship with God. There are people who are confused. They just don't have a clue to the whole issue around them. And they are just groping on in the dark, waiting for help to come from where they don't know. And God has packaged his help in Christ Jesus and entrusted that gospel of Jesus Christ in your hand. Each one of us will carry the help that the needy people of our world are waiting for. And we cannot afford to delay sharing the love of Christ. We cannot afford it. There is a waiting world. There's a world out there that's waiting for us. The next slide. What specific task is the church actually called to pursue in fulfilling the Great Commission? What is the Great Commission? The next slide. The Great Commission is to make disciples of all nations. It's your theme. It is to make disciples of all nations. And tomorrow at the leadership session, I'm going to be dwelling a lot on that, because there is a strong leadership angle to the discipleship mandate. And then we'll continue later tomorrow evening as we look at professionals, the different, you know, places where God has placed you, whether as a student or a lecturer, a market man or woman, a businessman or woman, a politician, a civil servant, whatever, and how that can be employed as a platform to make disciples of all nations. God, our God, is the global God. I said that earlier on. He's the God of all the nations. When he called Abraham, he said, "I will bless you, and in you, through you, all the families of the earth." It is the same word. All the nations of the earth be blessed. God is passionate to extend the blessings of redemption to every family of the earth, to every nation of the earth. And God wants you to share in that passion. God wants you to enter into that passion of his heart and to walk with him to realize that. The word nation is, came from the word ethne. When God says we shall make disciples of all nations, he wasn't referring to political countries. It does not mean go and make disciples of Nigeria, of Ghana, of Kenya, of South Africa, of Iraq, and Iran, and Afghanistan, and Pakistan. It's talking about something a bit deeper than that. Jesus Christ was referring to ethnicities, the language, and extended families which constitute the peoples of the earth. It's a Greek word. That word translated nation is the Greek word for ethnic. And it refers to a cultural group or a language group. People defined by culture. People defined by language. When the Bible says in Mark 16:15, it said, "Go ye into all the world and preach the good news to every creation." It wasn't just referring to the world of the geographers. It was also referring to the world of the sociologists. The circles, the places where we spend our time, our social works. Go to the world of tailors. Go to the world of students. Go to the world of children. Go to the world of people. Go to the world of sportsmen and women. Go to the world of musicians, artists. Go into all the world. It includes the political world, but it is not limited to it. It has to do also with each of those circles within which we spend our lives, which are your circles of influence. As a child, you have your people that you do, what is that thing that children do, and they begin to go around. What do you call it here? Oga, you know. You know that you have those people that you do it together, isn't it? That's your circle. And each one we have our circle. The desire of God is for us to invade each of those circles of influence with the life of the kingdom of God, with the redemptive message of Jesus Christ. Now here, it's talking about ethnicities. Go and make disciples of Jesus Christ. Go and raise lifelong followers, obedient followers of Christ, heroic followers of Christ, committed followers of Christ within every ethnic group. An ethno-linguistic people is a group with shared ethnicity and language. A single country can have hundreds of such groups. So, beloved, we need to see as God is seeing. We need to be able to take a look at the world the way God is looking at the world, so that we can work strategically with God in the furtherance of His global agenda. God is looking at ethnicities. A place like Nigeria, we have some conflicting figures. We have about 246 talking of nations, ethnicities, less than 10,000 in population. about 246. Out of that, we presently have the witness of Christ in so many less 81. There are about 81 of that 246 that do not yet have a viable indigenous church movement. The next slide. A culturally relevant church for every people group, leading to worship from every nation, tribe, people, and tongue, such that God's glory and kingdom fills the earth. What is our mandate? Our mandate is to plant a culturally relevant church. Can you give me the name of the two communities you have been to where you have a church plant? What are their names? Boga.
Wow. I'm only saying it in some in a tongueish way. Assuming you go to Uboga, assuming that we go to Uboga, pardon the word, I'm saying it, please. Assuming we go there, and we plant a church, that Uboga, the speak Igbo. And already we have a Bible in the Igbo language. Assuming we get there, and I'm from Jos, and in Jos we have the Birom people. Assuming we go there, and because I come from Jos, we're now doing things like the Birom. It will not be adequate. What God expects is that we will plant culturally relevant churches. And actually not churches, but church movements. It is to plant movement of churches. A church that can reproduce itself. A self-reproducing church. We'll be discussing that later. But when you plant a church and nurture it, it should be nurtured in a way that it immediately becomes a self-reproducing church. The mandate we have is to plant culturally relevant church for every people group. Can you say that word with me? A culturally relevant church for every people group. Can we say that? A culturally relevant church. An indigenous, viable church. Viability in the sense of self-reproducing. A viable church that can reproduce itself without much outside effort. Amen? That is our mandate within every unreached community. Every people. Leading to worship from every nation, tribe, people, and tongue, such that God's glory and kingdom fills the earth. Matthew 24:14 states the mission goal of the church towards completing the Great Commission in terms of the gospel of the kingdom being proclaimed globally as a witness to all nations. Matthew 24:14 says, and this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached as a witness
to all nations. God is expecting a dynamic witness of Christ within every nation. And beloved, if there is something to which you need to align your life, it is that you are going to be part of the establishment of the witness of Christ within the remaining unreached people groups of our world. Amen. The missionary task is to bring about the beginning of a gospel movement in every ethnic. That is, in every nation. Every ethnic, nation, or people. To bring about the beginning of a gospel movement. We are to bring about a movement of the gospel within every ethnic, within every nation, within tribe, so that the people of that culture will eventually hear the gospel communicated by someone from their own people group. The ones that is a viable church planting movement within a tribe. That will now take on the evangelization of the remaining people. And those people will have the advantage of the gospel communicated by someone from their own culture. In that way, the gospel will not be distant. It will not be white man's religion. It will be something that somebody is explaining using my language, using the cultural things that I can relate with to communicate eternal truth to me and help my obedience. The essential missionary task of the church is therefore to establish, and listen to this, because I'll leave the rest of the slide, to establish a viable, indigenous, church-planting movement within every people group that carries a potential to renew that community and to transform that society. I'm trying to explain what is our mandate. We need to be clear about our mandate, and it is to establish viable, indigenous, church-planting movement within every ethnic, within every nation that carries a potential to evangelize the remaining part of that nation, of that people group, and to bring about transformation using the values of the kingdom of God within that community. That is our mandate. And may the Lord prosper us as we commit to this in Jesus' name. For tonight, having said that, I would just like to add that when Paul recognized the call of God upon his life, in Galatians chapter 1, turn with me to Galatians chapter 1. Galatians chapter 1 from verse 15 through to 18. I read. "For when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb, and called me by his grace, to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. Neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus. And after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and abode with him 15 days. want you to get something very quickly because our time is running. When Paul recognized that God's hand was upon his life, he said, when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the heathen, I did not confer with flesh and blood. Paul took a step in recognition of the call of heaven upon his life. And brothers and sisters, there is an awesome call of heaven upon your life. A call to be a great commission Christian. A call to identify with the passion of the heart of God to extend the blessing of redemption to the unreached, unsaved peoples of our world. There is that call on your life. If you have not recognized it, I want to submit to you by the inspiration of God's word that there is that call on your life if you have given your life to Jesus Christ. Paul recognized that and took a step of separation. He withdrew himself. In order to consecrate himself to that task, that is a necessary step by each one of us. What is distracting you from the call of heaven upon your life? We're going to see tomorrow evening that your studies is not a distraction. Your business is not a distraction. Your vocation is not a distraction. There are other things you may be allowing, however, to be a distraction. Distraction must be laid aside. You have only one life. And that life must be laid to fulfill the purpose of heaven over your life. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, from verse 14 to 15, the Bible says, the love of Christ constrains us. And he went on to say, in that Christ died, he died for all. That those who live should no longer live unto themselves. For unto him who loved them and gave himself. Beloved, someone owns you. Someone paid a precious price for your redemption. You are not your own. You belong to Jesus Christ. And your life should be yielded in commitment to his mission on earth. That those who live should no longer live unto themselves. There is a lot of living unto ourselves. Jesus Christ said, these things do the nations of the world seek after. But you seek my kingdom and his righteousness. And all these other things will be added to you. Who to marry? Where to walk? Where to live, what to eat, and what to wear. Answer to those questions have torn many apart and taken them off the tangent of the call of heaven over their lives. It is not meant to be. It's my prayer that this weekend program will bring you to a point of confluence, a point of alignment with the divine purpose for your life. That those who live should no longer live unto themselves, but unto him who loved them and gave himself for them. One other thing that Paul did can best be explained as training. In order for you to be fruitful in the mission of God, this program is packaged to increase your fruitfulness in the mission of God. Thank God that you've been doing some things, but it's a messy drop, randos are falling. But for the showers, we need. Beloved, I lack time to explain to you the urgency of this mission in the light of realities in our world today. I live in Jos, and my work is with people who are at the front line of the extension of God's kingdom and the great price that they are paying. One of our very young brother, Joshua Ada, was murdered in cold blood. In Wukari, was returning. He has a mission base in Taraba, among the Kona people of Taraba. Over 300 children, providing accommodation, feeding, and training for them free of charge. Running around to raise resources to ensure that if it's difficult to get the older generation, can we do a thorough work among the younger generation? And these people gladly release their children to this school. The mission school, they live in that base. And they spend 24/7 laboring to invest their life in those children. The Fulani people targeted him. He was coming, his vehicle broke down, and he sent the other person to go and get mechanic, not knowing they were laying ambush. When the other person left, they came on him and dragged him to the bush and murdered him. And yet to even go and see, he has two young kids. He has said, we had a meeting in December that he came for in Jos. He said, if anything like this happened, they should bury him right on the mission field. And that's where he was buried. The wife said she's not going anywhere. She's going back to that field. That when they went there, they had signed their, is it obituary or what? Their death doesn't mean anything to them. But it is what they understand the call of God upon their lives. I have stories, brothers and sisters, that I can tell you of those who are putting down their lives in order that the glory of God might extend beyond places. Jesus Christ said, other sheep I have that are not of this fold. There are several others that are not here. They are in this city. Some are in the interior. The whom I must bring him. Who is going to commit his time and life and resources. Who is going to dedicate 1 hour of prayer overnight for the next mission base that this church is reaching out. Who is going to pay a price that more people name, more people may be enlisted in the Lamb's Book of Life. That is a secondary issue to many people. And I don't know if you are one of such. It is wrong for it to be a secondary issue. What you consider a primary commitment is just a strategy of the enemy to block you, to blur your sight from investing in what is more glorious. I would like to encourage us as we go to God in prayer tonight to recognize there are just about 2-3 things I'm saying tonight, because I am actually just making some foundational statements. And it is that you are made for God's mission. God's mission has to do with extending the blessings of redemption to all the families of the earth. The sacrifice of Jesus will not worth it if any single one is left unreached. The enemy is closing in. Satan is wasting lives. Just turn on your cable network news and hear what's going on. There was a bomb blast in Pakistan mosque this today. It killed several people. Satan is looking for a shortcut to eternal perdition for those under his territory. God wants you to join his world rescue force. Everybody say with me, world rescue force. God wants you to join his world rescue force to rescue the perishing. And there is no better time to dedicate your life to that cause other than now. The harvest truly is plenteous. Laborers are few. Beloved, there are those who are in church for what to get. You need to step out of that company. You need to step out of the company of those who are indifferent to the eternal destiny of perishing souls. You need to step out of the company of those who are not pursuing God and his global agenda. You need to line up. You need to enlist in the company of those whose meat is to do the will of him that sent them while it is day. Because the night is coming when no man can walk. Boko Haram has made things so difficult. In some of the places we used to walk to in the northeast, they are difficult areas to go to now. We don't know where we'll be next. While we have opportunity today, let us arise and walk. I lack time to explain a bit to you, maybe tomorrow or so, before we end, the Islamic incursions into Eastern Nigeria. The strategy. We have hundreds of Igbo boys and girls on scholarship in Cairo, in Saudi Arabia, in Libya. On scholarship, hundreds. I'm telling you of hundreds. We monitor it. And they are putting in money to be able to achieve that. It's a global plan. But God has you. Doesn't he have you? He has you. And you are the hope of God for a turnaround. And beloved, I invite you tonight to rededicate your life to God in promoting his glory. The world of the unreached. If you're here tonight and you have not invited Jesus to take control of the government of your life, in the show, you are in and out. We see you today and you know what you do beyond where you come around. Don't waste further time. Today is the day of salvation. Because tomorrow may be too late. I invite you to meet to Jesus Christ tonight. Let Jesus have his way in your life. He stands at the door and knock. His voice and open the door of your heart. Will come into you. If you're here tonight, you know your name is not in the Lamb's Book of Life. It can be a done deal tonight. By repenting of your sins and accepting the pardon and forgiveness that Jesus gives, and welcoming His peace to your heart, and committing your life to follow after Him, righteousness and true holiness for the rest days of your life. You're a believer, beloved. We must lift high the royal banner of Jesus. You must stand to be counted in how God's agenda moves forward. We will discuss some practical details tomorrow, and I want to encourage you not to miss on any of the sessions. Today is just foundational. There is something you can do. There is a contribution that God has graced you, gifted you to make. And beloved, you are crucial, you are critical in the arrangement of God concerning His work here on earth. I encourage you to turn to Jesus today. I have a work to do. I have a work to do. I have a work to do. My life shall not fail. I have a work to do. My life shall not fail.
I have a work to do.
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 My life shall not fail.
I have a work to do.
My life shall not fail.
I have a work to do.
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 My life shall not fail.
Before I pray for those of us who are going to commit to step up our commitment to this work, to this mandate of missions, can we all bow our heads, please? Can we all bow our heads? I would like to give an opportunity to you, and I mean you. If you have heard His voice here tonight, know that He loves you, and He loves you. He desires the best for your life and your future. But He asks you just one thing: yield your heart to Me, yield your life to Me. That is just what He needs. Yield your heart. Yield your life to Me. You have been running the show, but tonight you want to say, Jesus, I surrender. If you are such a person, can you please lift your right hand up where you are seated? I want to pray for you. You want to yield your heart to Jesus Christ tonight? I want you to raise your right hand up where you are seated. I want to pray for you. God bless you. Can you lift your right hand up where you are seated? God bless you. I want to pray for you. You want Jesus to come into your heart. While all eyes are closed, please, and heads bowed, I want those who are saying yes to Jesus tonight to please lift their right hand up. I want to pray for you. I want to see those hands again. I want to see those hands again. I want to see those hands again. Lift your right hand up. God bless you. Please put that hand on your head. That right hand, put it on your head. Put that hand on your head. Thank you, Jesus.
Jehovah, we exalt you. Thank you for each one of these persons who have recognized their need of Jesus in each of their hearts. Their need of the forgiveness, the peace that Jesus gives, the eternal life that can only be found in Him, and are repenting of their sinful ways, their disobedience to you, and asking you to come into their heart tonight. I pray, Jehovah, that your mercy will locate each and every one of them. If condition that your mercy will locate them. Ask eternal Father that you have mercy on each of these those who have identified and whose hands are resting on their head. I pray, Jehovah God, that you have mercy upon them. I pray that you cleanse them from all unrighteousness. I ask eternal God that you grant them the power of sonship. You write their names in your book of life and grant them the gift of eternal life. I pray tonight that their names will enter your book of life and that they will be abiding fruits in the kingdom of God and in the fellowship of your people here. Jehovah, I pray that you will grant each one of these people a true heart of repentance and a commitment to follow you. Ask Jehovah God that you will deepen their hunger for you. You will deepen their thirst for you. That their heart pants after the water brooks, so will their heart pant after you. I pray, Almighty God, that you will place your hands upon them and you will mark them out for your kingdom and your glory. That from tonight onward, there will be a divine turnaround to each of their lives, and their lives will henceforth radiate your glory. I pray that they will know the peace that Jesus brings, and they will walk in newness of life. Thank you, gracious Father. I pray in Jesus' name. All of you, I'm going to be needing to meet with you. We're still praying, please. All heads bowed. We're still in prayers. All of you, I will need to meet with you after the final prayer. Tonight, before I hand over the mic, you recognize that you have a work to do and you do not want your life to fail in the accomplishment of that task. You have a mandate over your life to fulfill. And you do not want your life to fail. You want your life to be a success as far as that mandate is concerned. And you need prayer, you need God to help you. I'd like you to stand on your feet as I close tonight. I want to pray with you. I want to pray with you. You are clear, you have a mandate. You have heard God's word. I want to pray with you. Just stand with me as I pray, as I pray. Stand on your feet as I pray. Eternal God, we recognize, Almighty Father, that you are a God of love. That even when we are coming short, your heart of love reaches out to us to strengthen us and to bring us to that place of fulfillment. To that place where our life will be what you have ordained it to be. I stand in the gap here tonight concerning your sons and daughters who have risen up in recognition of your mandate over their lives. and their earnest desire to be a success as far as the fulfillment of heaven's mandate is concerned. We stand in the gap to beseech your mercy, to beseech your grace, to ask Jehovah God that you behold the hearts of your people. Behold the hearts of your people. Behold each one of them. Father, you know the goings on in their heart. You know their frustration. You know, Jehovah God, where they feel inadequate. You know the effort they are making that is not just adding up. You know, Jehovah God, where they rightly belong in your divine scheme of things. I plead with you tonight that help will be made available upon each and every life to be able to attain the mark of your calling. I ask, eternal God, that help will proceed from your throne upon each and every life standing in need of your help, and that they will experience help that is divine. Help from the throne of your grace to be who you have made them to be, whom you have ordained them to be. You said you didn't choose me, I chose you and ordained you to go and bring forth fruits, fruits that will abide. You have ordained them to go and bring forth fruits that will abide. And I asked Jehovah God that their walk with you from now henceforth we bring forth abiding fruits in Jesus' name. I pray, Jehovah God, that you will grant them the joy of seeing harvest in their labor with you. Thank you, gracious Father. I come against distractions. Whatever is constituting a distraction on the part of your people to the obedience of your heavenly calling. I bring such to judgment tonight in the name of Jesus. I exercise the authority of the kingdom of God over such factors and issues. Riambanosa kuka teka handle lisoka patu makihangla dos teka susia. I bring to judgment every force that is occasioned by hell to distract your people from their best point of relevance to you. I cause such forces to wane. In the name of the Lord Jesus, I receive victory for your people in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. You are able, more than able, to accomplish what concerns us today. You are able, more than able. You can handle. You can handle everything that comes our way. Oh yes. He's able. More than able. Yes, to make your people. To make your people what you want them to be. Oh yes, Lord, more than able to accomplish what God has done. God is able to accomplish what concerns you today. The specific angle to your situation, God knows it and is able. Commend you therefore to that unlimited ability of God. His grace establish you. His power uphold you.
May you mount up with wings as eagle. May you run and not be weary. May you walk and not faint. May your story change for the better. May you bring forth abiding fruits. Thank you, mighty God. I pray in Jesus' name.